Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Episode 331.
Y'all, I'm already off Woo Plus.
Girl, listen, because we had to record like the last episode a little earlier. And Sunday, whenever I was like going back through it to post it, I was like, that bitch is already off. How long did that last?
Y'all, I even paid for it.
She did. Can y'all believe that she paid for it and then fucking deleted it? Didn't even last the month. She paid for it.
No. And they don't give you refunds. They're just like, oh, you can still do it until the end of the month. And I was like, no, I don't want to. For my mental health, I need to walk away. Yeah. But it was, okay, remember I said it was like $18.99 and I was like, I'm not doing that. Well, the iPhone heard me and was like, hey, we'll do it for $13.99. I was like, well, that's $5 off. That's a deal to me.
I really think that it would probably be better in a bigger place. I just think it's too small here.
Yeah. Well, even the people that I matched with, a lot of them were like in Florida.
Yeah. But stuff. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I feel like you have to be in a larger area. Like, because when I did it, when I was in Salem, like a lot of the people were in Boston, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like if you're around a larger city, you'd be fine.
Yeah. But I was like, not for me.
But you did see some of the same people on there that you saw other places.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I don't like how it's set up because you have to pay for it to, like, get anything out of it.
Yeah.
At least for Tinder, you can scroll and swipe and, like, it's just easier.
Yeah.
And you don't have to pay for it. Woo Plus is plus a lot of shit that you have to add on.
Yeah. Yeah, because you only got, like, what, 5 or 10 swipes a day or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, I want to like mindlessly swipe.
Me too.
Like I want Tinder to be my TikTok. You know what I mean?
I'm like, that's what I do when I'm on the toilet. Hello? Like,
isn't that where everyone cultivates relationships? Y'all, I'm obsessed with this TikToker right now. Rollinsness. He is everything. He does this dance to a Gypsy Rose. Like, What's the word? Like a quote?
A snippet.
Yeah. It's like a quote of Gypsy Rose that they put to a beat. And it's when she said, my man wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pole. And it's like, my man.
Oh, honey, I am so not threatened by you.
Oh, my God. And he's everything. His outfits, his just energy. Like, I'm like, I need you in my life.
Yes.
And the fact that it's to like a Gypsy Rose, like, my man, oh yes. My God.
It's perfect.
Colby finally watched the act because, you know, all this stuff with Gypsy Rose, like the new show that's come out, which I still haven't watched. I definitely kind of want us to do that maybe for Patreon. Watch it and do it.
Y'all tell us if y'all want to. If y'all want us to, I will. If not, I'm not.
There's just so much to unpack in that show. But anyway, so, you know, all the goings on with Gypsy Rose. So Colby finally watched the act.
You know how I already know this? Because he was starting it when we finished recording one night.
Yeah.
And he was like, have you ever watched this? Has Carrie watched this? And I'm like, I have. I think she has.
I had seen parts of it, but I never watched the whole thing. But he was like, because it was a part where, of course, they're like starting to figure out, you know, what's happening and the Facebook posts. And I was like, you know, that post is still up, right? He was like, what? And like, I was reading him some of the comments and stuff. And then in the show, it like showed comment. He was like, we just looked at that in real life. Like, that's so crazy that it was like that. This is real life.
Yeah.
And I just learned from a TikTok because everything's TikTok. But I just learned from a TikTok where they're in the hotel room and she's like, he's eating a brownie right now, but next he'll be eating me. That's real.
What?
Yeah. Like there's like a real like video from her phone of that part. Because, like, when she said that, I was like, ugh, because Colby had just walked to the bathroom, and he was like, what? And I told him, like, what she did. And so, like, that part stuck out to me.
Yeah.
And then watched this TikTok that had clips of her and, like, all of her interviews and how she kind of definitely minimizes her participation and all the things. And then it shows some of the stuff from the case where it showed a video of her walking up to the bed where her mom was going to be and, like, doing a stabbing motion. And then that part, I was like, what?
Oh,
so there's like
gosh.
So much that I still don't know about that case.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that show on Lifetime, there is so much to unpack between her and Ron.
Well, see, I haven't watched anything. I haven't really seen anything besides them going at it on TikTok that comes up on my FYP.
Yeah. I've seen like clips from the show from TikTok.
And I haven't seen it from the show. These are like clips of their lives that they do.
Oh.
But yeah, if y'all want us to do that for Patreon, let us know.
It's just so crazy how much, like, when you watch their interviews, how you really start to side with him on a lot of stuff, because she puts her hand on his arm like her mom used to do her, like how her mom would grab her hand to, like, tell her to be like, stop talking or whatever. She does that to him.
Oh.
And then you also watch the show, or, you know, clips of the show, and there's some stuff where that he has said where I'm like, did that just really come out of your mouth? Like, there was a part where she had said something on some social media, something, and it got reported to the parole board, and they told her she had to take down all of her social media. And he was like, did you tell them that's revenue? And she's like, I may have to go back to prison, you know? And
wow.
He's like, but did you tell them that's revenue? And she's like, I can't believe you just said that.
Wow.
Conversely, I kind of get his point, though. Neither one of them can have jobs because she's Gypsy Rose, and he's fucking married to Gypsy Rose now and lost his teaching job. So it's like, this is their income, you know?
Oh, that gives me anxiety.
For real. But speaking of Patreon, we got to shout out Patreoners. Thank you so much. Kyle M. from Michigan.
Courtney M. from the UK.
Madison F. from North Carolina.
Nicole S. from Nevada.
Rebecca G. from Minnesota.
Line R. from Denmark.
And Jennifer D. from Massachusetts.
Really hope I said your name correctly. Line, is it Lene?
Oh.
Could be. Let us know, please.
Thank you all so much for joining Patreon. If you want an episode shout out just like these folks, and who knows what's to come on Patreon, but we do know that it's an episode extra a week. So if you want that plus the backlog, head on over to patreon.com/theAPC podcast. Did I tell y'all that I watched that documentary on the guy with 10,000 babies?
No.
Whoa.
I've heard about it from one of my coworkers, Sarah. She was telling me, but I thought she was talking about the doctor who had done it.
Literally everyone that I have told that I watched it, they're like, yeah, the doctor. I'm like, no, this is a different guy.
That's what she said. And I was like, that's an old thing, you know? And she was like, no, this is brand new. Like when it had come out, she had told me, and I was like, oh.
It is absurd. Like, and of course, they go into all this in the thing, but everybody that I've also told is like, so why, like, what's the big deal that he's like this huge sperm donor? I'm like, well, most countries have a 25-person limit.
Yeah.
And so, like, especially when you get in these small countries and you've got him donating in side-by-side towns, the odds you falling in love with your sibling is so fucking high.
I know. And then you wouldn't know it.
No, there's no way to know it.
Oh, God. Yeah, I didn't know it either. Like, I was the same person. Like, I was like, okay, I mean, that's gross, but what's the big deal?
Yeah,
like, how is this like a criminal thing? How is this like, you know? But yeah, when they said that, it's like, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then like how you've done cases where the dad and the daughter didn't know each other and were attracted to each other.
Because that is a proven like medical thing, I don't know if medical is the right word, but like proven phenomena that happens when people are related and they don't know they're related because they see something of themselves in the other person. And so they are attracted to them for like a way they can't explain. And that's why, because you're related.
Uh-huh.
We also watched this documentary. It was like 3 episodes called I Killed My Father. You need to watch it. So good.
It's with the son that's in prison.
Can't tell you.
Oh, well, it's not new.
It's fairly new.
Is it?
Hold, please. Well, by the by, I was wrong. It's called I Just Killed My Dad, and Donna was right, kind of. It was from 2022, so kind of old.
Yeah. I mean, enough that it's not, like, the one that you just said about the 100
yeah.
people or whatever, that's new, but I have seen that other one.
And I think that's what got Colby watching the act, because I was, like, drawing comparisons to Gypsy Rose and, like, why I think that case is so much different than Gypsy Rose, because it's more of, like, a snapped thing, whereas mm-hmm. she, like, literally
planned it,
convinced her boyfriend through multiple interactions and manipulation to kill her mother, and went and got the knife and, like, literally did everything to set it up.
Yeah. I was talking to one of my coworkers, and I was like, it's the sex after they killed her and stuff, too, for me. Like, yeah. it's not a, oh, my God, what the fuck did I just do? Or, like, you know what I mean? I don't know. That's where I just get to where I'm just like, I don't know.
Yeah. But she paid her time.
Yeah, that's right. She sure did.
The state said that that's all she had to serve, and so be it, I guess.
Yeah. What's his name, though? Because I said something Gobi John. Kyle Gobi John.
No.
Nick Go to John.
Nick Go to John. Yeah, I couldn't think of his first name. I was like.
When I said it, then I said Gobi John. Well, fuck, now I'm like, well, let's do it. Everyone's going to be like, no, I don't want you to. And I'm like, well, now I want to.
And y'all know when that bitch digs her heels in.
I dig them in.
She's going all the way to the Earth's center.
Much like I did when I was in the ocean.
That was a very niche joke. Everyone who's never listened before is like, what the fuck is she talking about?
Has no one ever done that when you're walking on sand? Like, I'm like, well, I feel every bit of, like, pounds I weigh because my feet are,
like, sinking in.
Yeah. It's because like, that disappearing was in the sand.
Well, it's because that's the first time you've been in the ocean in, like, 700 years.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before we get into Donna's story, we got to talk about BetterHelp, because this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Y'all have heard Donna and I both talk about how we have used BetterHelp to really, well, help us. The online platform of BetterHelp is my favorite part about it. You answer a few questions and BetterHelp matches you with a therapist that meets your needs. So whether you're like, hey, I want to be more of like a religious-based guidance, or I don't want that, or you want someone experienced with the LGBTQIA community, whatever your specific needs are, BetterHelp can set you up with a counselor that matches those needs. And then it's all online from there.
And it's all up to you, like on your schedule, if you want it over the phone, if you only want to text, if you want to do a video chat, which is what I wanted to do, because I like to look at people when I'm talking to them. And, you know, like the eye contact is a lot for me. And also it holds me a little bit more accountable because they're right there.
Yeah, especially with sometimes my lack of focus, like it really helped me to be face to face with them via a camera. At first I was like, oh, I don't really want to do that. But then I'm like, okay, I'm glad I did that version because it really helped me.
But also they will send you like follow-ups, like little exercises, worksheets after, and they can do that all through the app. Because I don't know about y'all, life is lifing right now. And I'm in that like headspace where comparison is a big thing for me, which I really appreciate people on TikTok de-influencing and mm-hmm. like showing the actual like behind the scenes of making this, or like this is really what my life is or whatever, because it's so easy to compare yourself to someone who seems to have it all together. And I'm, you know, doom scrolling in bed because I don't want to get out and start my day. But that's something I can talk to my therapist about and give her that right there, that example. And she can help me
come up with better coping strategies on how to manage these feelings that are overwhelming for you.
Yes.
Or a co-host that finishes their sentences. Therapy for me was scary to start, but I tend to know pretty quickly if someone's the right match for me. And that was the scariest part was, okay, well, what if I don't jive with my therapist? But with BetterHelp, you can change therapists at any time, like no questions asked. So if you're not jiving or anything, you can just change therapists and find someone who works best for you.
And look, you know, we love to trauma bond, but therapy isn't always something that has to be rooted in trauma. It can just be about you needing better coping skills, about how to set boundaries, how to empower you to be the best version of you.
And with it being completely online, it saves you all kinds of time. So stop comparing and start focusing with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/APC to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/APC to get 10% off your first month. Picture it. Allegash, Maine, 1976. It was August, to be exact, so the best year out of the month, duh. But it wasn't the best month for four men who became known as the Allegash Four. Okay, so the four men, it was a set of brothers, twins, Jack and Jim Weiner.
I'm not touching that. With a 10-foot pole. My man wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pole. See how I did that? Brought that full circle.
But then, if that's not confusing enough, the other two are friends, and that's Chuck Rack and
Chuck Rack sounds like a type of meat. I'm going to put some Chuck Rack on the grill.
But Chuck Rack and Charlie Foltz. So they were both named Charles, but they just had different nicknames. So you have Charles, Charles, Jim, and Jack. And Jim and Jack are twins. Like, whew, Lord.
And y'all thought my stories were confusing sometimes.
Now, they've been friends for a while because they met in college in Boston, and it was at the Massachusetts College of Art and Design. They were all liberal arts majors and outdoorsy people, so they had planned a trip to the Allegash Wilderness Waterway in Maine. Now, it's located in the most northwestern part of Maine. It's a national wild and scenic river system that's over 92 miles long. Like, if you want to go, you can spend more than a week on the water to see it all. Or you could break it up and just see the more scenic parts. But that's wild to think. If you're going to see it all, you'd have to stay there over a week. Well, the first night was fine. They were having fun. The second night, Jim noticed some weird lights in the sky floating above the treetops. But after about 30 seconds, they disappeared. And he was like, well, that's fucking weird, but okay, you know, and didn't really think anything else about it. But then two nights after, on August 20th, they were doing some night fishing. And there wasn't a lot of light because the moon wasn't bright. So they decided to build a really big bonfire. And, you know, just not like the normal campsite kind of fire. This one is where they're trying to use that as the light for their fishing trip. And I'm going to just be honest, night fishing does not sound fun to me. Because the dark water, even darker, and not knowing what you're going to pull up, it sounds like you're going to pull up Jason Voorhees. Like, not for me. But they're night fishing, and all of a sudden, there's a bright object again in the sky. Now, Chuck saw it first and pointed it out to the others, and they all agreed that it looked like a smaller version of the sun, like just how bright it was. And remember, it was a dark night because the moon wasn't really noticeable. So this meant, like, it stood out. Chuck said he had a feeling that someone was staring at him, and when he turned around is when he saw that globe of light, he said. And Jim is the one who said it looked like a miniature sun, and it was very bright. Now, he also said the whole wilderness around them just seemed to quiet down to nothingness. And that always terrifies me. Mm-hmm. Like, that is so just eerie, because there's always sound. No matter where you are, there's always sound. Bugs, cars, something. And for it to just be stillness, like something's not right. So they were all just staring at this thing. And so Charlie was like, okay, I'm going to try to make contact with it because, like, what is it? And he used the flashlight that they had and he signaled a message in Morse code. Do you know what he signaled?
Anybody out there?
Well, that would be a lot to signal, but what else?
SOS.
Yes, but that's not what you should signal to something that you don't know what it is. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's saying we need help.
Yes.
Like,
what does SOS stand for? Send
over support? Literally have no idea.
Okay. According to the Goog, it means save our souls and save our ship.
Oh, God. That's
but it
sad.
Doesn't actually stand for anything, it says.
That's really sad. Save our souls?
Okay, don't cry, ma'am.
Oh, my God. I just think about Titanic.
Well, because I yelled, is anybody out there?
I know, but save our souls. And it's because I love that movie. Not everything's about you. Meanwhile, I'm going to have a breakdown over here.
Okay, not everything's about you.
But yeah, that's just not what you would send to, like, you don't know if it's friend, foe. You're not needing help. You're wanting to know, like, what's going on. So you're anybody out there would be more than SOS. But it seemed to respond to them as the light started descending down closer to them. So they were like, okay, saw our signal. So let's go back to shore. Like, obviously someone's there. What's going on? Now we're scared. So the four men paddled their canoes back to shore. But that was it. Like, they were paddling back, but then blacked out. And the next thing they knew, they were on the shore, and that big fire that they had built was completely extinguished. Like, it had burned down to just, like, the embers. But that would mean that they had been gone for hours, not just, like, the 20 minutes that they were out there. But they were all just so, like, out of it and exhausted. You know, you would think that they would talk about this and be like, what the fuck happened or anything. But they were just so dazed. Like, they started to fall asleep where they were. So they went to bed. Well, when they got up, they continued their trip and never really thought about that incident again. Now, the next few days they were there, nothing weird happened. And, like, they were there for, like, 6 more days after this. And they mentioned the incident to some friends and family when they got home, but no one gave it much thought. Because, well, like, okay, there was a bright light and then it was gone and you were tired.
Right.
Cool story, bro. But they had been roughing it for 4 days at that time and basically had a week ahead of them. So everyone just dismissed it. Like, you know, you probably just saw something, you know, like, whatever. It's fine. And including them, too. They were like, yeah, who knows? Like, what was it? We don't know. Can't explain it. Might have just been our imagination. Who knows? However, years after this trip, Jack Weiner, I can't be...
Not a child.
Yes, I can't not be a 13-year-old boy. But he started having severe nightmares. He didn't really tell anyone but his wife, Mary. He said that his nightmares centered around being in a brightly lit room. He never knew where he was or why he was there, but on most occasions, he did see the other guys, Jim, his twin, and then Chuck and Charlie. He said that when he saw them, they were all naked and sitting on a bench, and he remembered being so confused as to why they were just sitting there and not helping him, because what he felt was like that impending doom. And that he was in trouble and, like, they're just sitting there. Now, he recalled right when he was trying to figure out what to do to keep him safe, he saw a dark, shadowy figure emerge from the bright light. And when that figure was almost in view, Jim would wake up sweating and fighting to catch his breath, which is why he had to confide in his wife because, you know, she was witnessing him doing this. But Jack's twin, Jim, said that he was having some nightmares too, and later he confided in Jack. And Jack was like, holy shit, same here. And Jim said that over the years, the nightmares were basically the same or had the same elements to them, where there was some type of creature, he felt very helpless, and when he woke up, he would feel violated, but he wasn't sure why. Now, when they found out they were both having these nightmares, they decided... we're going to put our heads together, figure out what this is. Like, is this just like twin shit going on? Like, you're having it because I had it. But really, the only thing they could think about was that incident on Eagle Lake in Allegash Wilderness. They're like, maybe there was more than what we're letting ourselves believe. And maybe something really did happen. So they contacted a UFO researcher, Ray Fowler, and he told them since they had basically blacked out, they should hit up this hypnotherapist to see if they could recover lost memories or repressed memories. So they contacted Chuck and Charlie, and Chuck and Charlie were like, yeah, so those nightmares, we're having them too. Like, what the fuck? And they didn't know what was going on. So they were like, we're down for these sessions as well, because like we didn't know what we didn't know.
But it's also weird that they all just started having them at the same time. Like, why now?
Right. Now, to make sure they didn't influence each other, none of them talked about their sessions, and they all went to their session individually. And shockingly, or not shockingly, their recounts of that night matched up. Most of them recounted how the aliens took samples from them, like their skin and bodily fluids, and that means their urine, their semen, their blood. And then the men said that they always felt very afraid and like they wanted to resist, but that the aliens had talked to them telepathically and said, like, don't be afraid. We're not going to hurt you. You know, we're just going to probe you. Jack Weiner said, they're right there. This was like him in his hypnotic state, whatever, trance. They're right there. Their face is in my face. I don't know why. I don't want to know. I don't want to know what they want. They're saying things. In my head, they're saying, don't be afraid. They say, do what we say. Now, Charlie said the craft that they were in seemed like a doctor's office. Very sterile, very clean, very bright, white. And then had like that one bench that everyone kind of talked about. And he's quoted as saying, it's like a doctor's office. I get that. It's close. They put the panel over your chest. Then they scrape your arms and your chest and your legs and your thighs. We shouldn't be here. I just keep thinking, I want to go back to the canoe. And then he also said, there, I don't know what to do. I think they think I'm going to come after them. I feel like I want to. Like, I feel like I want to. The first one that comes near me, I'm going to throttle him. I don't like these things. I don't care where they came from. They shouldn't be doing this to people.
Well, the thing too, though, is that if they really could speak to them telepathically, then they probably would know what they're thinking.
Yeah.
So if they're thinking, like, if he's really thinking, like, well, the next one that comes, I'm going to throttle him, like, they're not going to let him. Like, if right. they can talk to you, then they can probably hear your thoughts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. What the fuck? You know how I am about aliens. I have such a love-hate relationship with my beliefs.
So then Chuck Rack, the Mead, he said that the aliens, like, he could see what they were doing to Charlie. And he was quoted as saying, I see some sort of device on him. They've got this. It looks like a silvery. It's got curves to it. It's almost like it sucks something. He's got his head tipped way back. It's like he's in pain. And we can't help him. All we can do is watch him. And now, remember, they all were very artistic and stuff. So each of them drew what they had, like, recollected through these dreams or through the trance, and all of them ended up being pretty close and stuff. I will say that all of them had to be like done a little bit extra. Like, all of them kind of had that block where he would go and be like, you know, like, think back to that night on the canoe, and they're just going straight to the shore. Like, mm-hmm. they could not get to that. And so they like had to go to a deeper level. And so it really was like they had repressed these so much that, you know, like, it was really having to dig out these memories. Now, after all their sessions, they were brought together and discussed their memories and learned, like, oh, shit, like, these are all the same. And they all agreed to polygraphs and they passed all of them. When this came out, it wasn't without ridicule. Dr. William Cole is one of the most notable skeptics. And he said that he thinks they're all pretty close because they've gotten ideas from TVs and movies and stuff like that. So it's like, yeah, it's all the same because they watch the same movies. They know what aliens are supposed to look like. And like, oh, they, you know, do experiments on you. Oh, a bright light. So he's saying, I don't think this is true. But Charlie's quoted as saying, this happened. If you believe it, that's all right. If you don't believe it, I don't care. I don't care because it did. But in 2016, now remember, this was back in the 70s. But in 2016, Chuck came out and said that the story was made up. He said that they thought they were going to make a lot of money, but they didn't. He still holds true that they saw some strange lights and stuff. So he's like, yeah, UFO probably happened, but the abduction didn't happen. And he denies any recollections of them being probed, examined. And he said that they really didn't think about this until Jim started having some seizures from a fall that had happened. It was like really traumatic. Maybe, I guess he like hit his head or something. And so maybe when that all happened, they were like, oh, maybe we could all like come up with this and make money off of it. And like I said, they didn't make the big bucks, but they were on Unsolved Mysteries. They were on the Joan Rivers show and like on like a History Channel show, but they weren't, you know, the next big thing. But here's the other part. Chuck also said, well, they were high, but before they had said they weren't drinking anything or high. And they all passed polygraph and stuff when this was happening, you know, but he said they were. And so they were saying, well, that, you know, like when you're in an altered state, you don't know how long it is. Like they could have just been like, whoa, look at that big bright ball.
Right.
And been there for 4 hours staring at it and being like, huh, it's only been like 20 minutes. Why is everything?
Right.
You know, but at the same time, like, were they really? Because here's the thing. The guys had a falling out. And when this happened, that's when Chuck came out saying it was a hoax. So like this whole time he's been doing all the things saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. But then they get in a fight and he's like, oh, it's a hoax. So was it a hoax? Or what if it's just Chuck saying this shit to get his extra 15 minutes of fame and hopefully some more money? Because the other three are saying, no, like this legit happened. Like we remember all of this and he's just lying about this for some fucking reason. Because now they're not getting any money. Like, what do they have to lose? You know? But also, like, it comes to the point of, do you believe the hypnotherapy and stuff like that? Because there's other cases where people have like been told something happened to them that's a lie.
Right.
And then they can talk about it like it really happened.
Right.
Like how they felt, how, you know, all these details that like you would be like, holy fuck, I believe them, but it's all a lie. And it's just what their mind is making. Kind of how like that thing where we can make faces out of with our minds because it's like
your mind tries to like make you understand what you can't understand.
Yeah. And so it's like, it kind of like closes in those gaps of the story and stuff for it to make you, we felt this, we experienced this. So this is what it was. So it's like, who knows what really happened, but it is known as the Allagash abductions, but I don't know. I don't know. Alien stuff is so hard.
Well, it's very sus that one of the guys came out later and was like, actually, this didn't happen. Like, that doesn't look good for the home team.
But also, like, why 30 years later are you going to do it?
Well, if they had a falling out and he was like, I'm not keeping your lies anymore, because maybe he didn't want to do it. And they're like, come on, come on, come on.
True.
Do it or we'll tell everybody that you've got high with us.
True.
You know, and yeah. He's like, okay. And then he's like, actually, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. Oh, and I do want to say, like, how they passed the polygraphs, they said, like, these people really do believe this happened to them, like, at that time. And that's, like, their true belief could be what had them pass the polygraphs, because they weren't lying. They actually believed it to be true.
Yeah, but on the flip side, it's a polygraph. So it's not like it's the fucking end-all be-all.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's because these were like average Joes. And so people are like, well, an average Joe can't pass a polygraph. Like they couldn't do it if they were lying.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like not necessarily.
I'm just saying what people say, Carrie. Gaw.
Well, I'm just saying that they're not right.
Well, duh.
People are the worst.
Yeah. But I don't know. This just makes me like, I don't know why I did this one. Because I've really been thinking, like, I want to get more outdoorsy and, like, see the world and see Earth and do that. But then I don't want to be abducted. Like, I want to be probed, but not by an alien. They don't have any pupils. Like, it's all just that. I need eye contact.
On TV, you don't know if a real alien doesn't have pupils.
Well, I'm lonely enough, so come abduct me.
Come abduct her so she can come.
Can you have different size probes, please?
Just she's beyond know. The trainers. You can bring the big boys.
We've lost it in her.
How does this human shit so easily? It's like a poop shoot. Why God. Do we take it too far?
I don't know. I just thought about like my sleep apnea thing. Like if I was on their examining table.
Girl, and you were like, sleeping?
Well, they'd be like, oh God, she's dead. Wait, she's alive. She's dead. Oh, wait, she's alive. She's breathing again.
You'd be like, what the fuck is this sound? A train? A Boeing 747?
Oh, God. They'd get to y'all and they'd be like, well, they've already got experiments going on.
Yeah.
They're all hooked They're up. Like, never mind.
God damn it. Bob beat us down here. How do you put the contraption on them when they sleep? The friend coming out and saying it was all a lie is super sus, though.
Yeah.
Like, that makes me think it's not real.
But then also, he could just be petty Betty and being like, oh, really? Well, I'm going to make everyone not believe y'all. You know what I mean? You never know.
But I feel like the guys were already like, believe us or not, it's fine.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want to do. So if that's what he was doing, he really wouldn't have hurt them. You know what I mean?
I think that still would hurt. Even if you're like, I don't care if you believe me or not. Like, you want them to believe you.
Yeah. But I'm saying, yeah, I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, that's the truest statement you've ever made.
That, and I don't know shit about shit. I guess what I want to say is I don't believe him.
I don't know, because I feel like how they blacked out makes sense, but then I don't know why it started 2 years after. Or what if it really did have to do something with his seizures and stuff, like him... I don't know, but I will say that my Uncle Bob, he did a lot of drugs and he would tell me stuff that sounded like this kind of shit. And I really believed him when I was like 13 because he was such a good storyteller. And like, I really believed he saw these monsters and stuff.
Yeah.
Because he really believed he saw them. You know what I mean? Like it was a bad trip, but like, to me, it was like, oh my God, that's like a supernatural thing. But it was just because he was on drugs. So, like, it really could be that. And they really could believe that they experienced that.
I agree with that. And if they were together experiencing the hallucinations at the same time, then that would explain or could explain them, like, being able to recall it under hypnosis.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into my story, we have to talk about HelloFresh. Because hello, it is fresh and will take out the woes of meal planning. Because every week you will catch me and Colby having the same conversation. What do you want for dinner this week? And when you're making that list for the grocery store that nobody wants to go to, you literally can't think of anything that you like to eat on the planet.
Right. And that's where HelloFresh comes in handy.
HelloFresh swoops in and saves the day because they have the biggest menu yet. They have over 50 recipes and even more market items to choose from every single week.
And with HelloFresh, you do get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered straight to your door, which is the best part because you can skip the grocery store and HelloFresh does make it easy. If I can do HelloFresh, you can too.
HelloFresh handles the meal planning, shopping, and most of the prep. So all you have to do is open your box and get to cooking because they come with pre-portioned fresh ingredients that you can whip up in no time. Plus, there's options of meal plans to choose from. So do you want quick and easy like Donna personally is? Vegetarian or kid-friendly if you've got a picky eater like Donna? And look, we know some of y'all are actually taking vacation this summer, and all you have to do is update your delivery address, and HelloFresh will send those meals to your vacation destination. That's freaking genius.
It really is. Because again, who wants to go to a grocery store and then at a place you don't even know? And every week's menu features options that can be ready in less than 20 minutes. And I don't know about you, but where I live, that is faster than takeout.
HelloFresh meals have a 31% lower carbon footprint than meals of the same portion size made from supermarket ingredients. And HelloFresh's pre-measured ingredients and 100% offset of their delivery emissions mean you're able to get dinner on the table while being kinder to the planet.
I'm all about doing what I can do for the planet, and eating HelloFresh, that I can do.
Reduce your food waste by 45% and reduce your carbon footprint, even better. So right now, when you sign up today, you'll unlock free appetizers for life.
So go to HelloFresh.com/creepapps for free appetizers for life. That's one appetizer per box while subscription is active.
That's HelloFresh.com/creepapps. That's CREEPAPPS. For one free appetizer per box while your subscription is active.
Again, that is HelloFresh.com/creepapps for free appetizers for life.
I mean, it's not America's number one meal kit for nothing. Okay, for my story, we are going to Cincinnati. This story came as a recommendation from our email from Rob C. So we're talking about the Bricka family. Picture it. It's Gerald, who goes by Jerry, Linda, and their daughter Deborah, who goes by Debbie. So Jerry was born in San Francisco. At the time of this story, he was 28 years old and had gone to college majoring in engineering and became a chemical engineer at a plastics factory. Linda, at the time of this story, was 23 years old. She was from Illinois, but had lived in Seattle for a little while before they had ended up in Cincinnati. After high school, Linda started working as a flight attendant for the airlines. Obviously, duh. But after Debbie was born, she started working for this veterinary clinic because the girl loved animals. They had two dogs, but they also had some rabbits too. But their dogs weren't like super nice dogs. They were kind of like the yippy dogs in the neighborhood. Their names were Thumper and Dusty.
Thumper is such a bunny name though.
But it was the dog.
I know, but it's a bunny name. Also, they were probably yippy yappy because the rabbits over there were having sex all the time, and they didn't want to hear them. Get it?
This story takes place on September 25th, 1966. So this was a Sunday morning like any other Sunday morning. Jerry, who was a bit of a workaholic, went to work that morning at like 7:30. And then at about 9, he left to go to Mass with the family. After Mass, it seems like the family had lunch together, and then at about 12:30-ish, Jerry goes back to work. He works until about 4 p.m. He goes and picks up Linda's medicine at the Walgreens and goes home. Now, the next morning, Jerry was supposed to go on a work trip with one of his coworkers named Glenn Ritchie. Now, Jerry was supposed to pick Glenn up at 6:30 in the morning so that they could ride to the airport together. So that evening at like 6:45, they talked on the phone like, hey, these are the plans. See you then. Good night. By 8:45, Jerry goes to pick up some milk, goes back home, takes the trash out, runs into a neighbor. They chit-chat all the things, and he goes back inside. Linda's dad calls the house at about 10 p.m. because Linda's parents were going on a vacation, and the dad was calling her to be like, hey, these are the plans for our vacation, just so you know, like what day we're going to be where, you know, that kind of thing. 1966, no cell phones.
But damn, at 10 o'clock and they got a kid?
The rule in my house was nobody was allowed to call after 9 p.m.
Yeah. I mean, my parents didn't really care, but like I cared.
You know what? That was your childhood.
Nothing beats you being mad at your dad calling me and telling me about it. And I'm like, where is he? And you're like, in the kitchen, like, and you're like right on the other side of the wall. Like, damn, okay.
God, we did butt heads when I was in high school. Bad. We butted heads bad.
You're a better whisperer than me, though.
But that 10 p.m. phone call was the last time that anyone heard from that family.
Oh, shit.
The next morning, Jerry was a no-show for Glenn. So Glenn called and nobody answered. So he's like, shit, I guess he overslept. and just went on about the trip because he's got to get on the plane. And I didn't see much about the work calling after that. But I feel like if Jerry didn't show up later for the trip, like people would be like, wait, where is it? Like he was at work. He was at work on Sunday. Like the yeah. dude did his job. Like he was not one to be like, I'm just not going to go on this work trip. Change of my mind.
Yeah. Also, how late did this guy call to be like, hey, where are you or whatever? I forget that they don't have cell phones, but I'm just like, why would he not go check and be like, dude, you got to wake up. You got to get, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but people are like, they would be like, well, just catch the next flight. Like, that's on you. You overslept.
I know. That's just not me.
I know. And all day Monday, no one saw the Bricka family. It wasn't really until Tuesday that people were like, hold the phone. Where are they? Like, the trash can's still out. Because I guess the Brickas are not like me, because I will leave that trash can out there for days.
Me too.
I am my neighbor's nemesis.
Me too. But also, my trash won't end up like being 2 days late sometimes.
Literally, our trash cans are still out right now because they didn't pick it up today.
Yeah. So it's like, I just leave it till I see other people bring theirs in. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. They did it.
I know. Colby's actually really good about bringing them in. But like if he's out of town or like working a weird hour or something, those bitches stay out there. I was talking to him when he got home and he was like, okay, I'm going to stop and get the trash cans. And I was like, okay. And then he texted me back. I was like, they didn't get our trash. What the hell? Anyway, so neighbors started noticing that their trash cans were out and the newspapers were starting to add up. It's only two, but still, it's weird. Their cars are in the same spot. Their trash can's still there and their newspapers are out.
Right.
So one of the neighbors decides that we got to go check this out. So he starts to go over to the house. Richard Jansen is his name. And he grabs another neighbor and is like, come with me. So they go over to the house, do the whole like knock, knock, knock. Anybody there? Nobody answers. He tries the door and it's unlocked. So he opens the door and in true Beauty and the Beast fashion, he's like, hello. You know how he does? Well, as soon as he pops his head in, he smells a smell that you can never forget.
Gas? Death?
Death. What the fuck?
I felt
gas.
Well, you do smell gas. I thought maybe they had killed the family.
Gas.
But leaving the stove on.
Jesus, God.
Okay, I'd be terrible at Family Feud.
For real. We are not playing the pyramid game together. I do want to say that some stuff said that the neighbor like popped his head in and was smelled the decaying bodies and was like, oh no, we got to call the police. And then some stuff did say that he walked around the house and saw the bodies before they called police. So I'm not really sure which one of those is true. This also happened so long ago, there's not even a freaking Wikipedia page.
I feel like he probably saw the bodies too, because...
Well, everything said too, like he is a World War II veteran.
Oh, never
mind. And so he like recognized, you know... Yeah,
never mind.
But I feel like you would know the smell.
Oh, yeah. But look, I was just thinking that he had like killed the family by being the last one up and like he left the gas stove on.
But the police do get there and they find a brutal murder. I do want to say that Thumper and Dusty are fine. They were locked in the basement. But that is something else that the neighbors noticed, that these dogs were just barking and barking and barking and barking and barking. Now, while they normally are barkers, this was far more excessive. There was a knife missing from the family's carving set. Some stuff said it was like 5.5 inches. Some stuff said it was 6.5 inches, but it was a big ass fucking knife. So when they get there, Linda is on top of Gerald, but she's positioned in a way that it looks like she was dragged. Like her arms are like over her head. Like they grabbed her by her hands and dragged her. Did I say Gerald? I keep saying his given name instead of Jerry.
I think you did say Gerald once.
Jerry was still in the clothes that he wore to work. He just didn't have shoes on. So it looks like he came home, kicked his shoes off, was doing things around the house when something horrible happened. There was a sock stuffed into his mouth and a piece of tape over that. how the tape was, though, because there was residue of tape on Linda, it looked like maybe at some point that they had been tied together. Linda had on a nightgown and like an unzipped hooded like sweatshirt type thing. And then again, something's called that a house coat. So I don't know if she was truly wearing like an old school house coat.
Yeah.
Or if it was this like hooded sweatshirt. Don't know. Now, Jerry's wallet was in the room and it didn't have any money in it. It was laying on the bed. It's almost like someone took it, took the money out of it, and just flung it on the bed. Unfortunately, Debbie, their daughter, who was just 4 years old, had been murdered as well. She was in her flannel little nightgown and only had one sock, a red little sock left on, and the other one was laying on her bed.
Oh, gosh.
It looked like Jerry had been stabbed about 10 times and Linda about 6 times, and Debbie had been stabbed 4 times. And because the knife was so long and the killings were so brutal, that the knife had like completely punctured through Debbie and Linda too, I think.
Oh my gosh.
But the thing is, there was no evidence at the house, hardly. Like, there was nothing missing to indicate that this was some sort of robbery gone wrong. Linda had been sexually assaulted. So was this some sort of home invasion where they tied them together and then raped Linda? And then, like, there was really nothing to indicate what was the motive. So at first, there were some murders that were happening in Cincinnati from a guy who was later found guilty of those. He was the Cincinnati Strangler. But police were able to rule out that the Cincinnati Strangler was not who did this to this family. So then the police heard some rumors and decided to look at Dr. Fred Leininger. He was the veterinarian at the place where Linda worked. So he was 36 years old, and word on the street is that they were having an affair.
What?
Look, there's no proof to show that Linda was having an affair. But if you go on Reddit, people talk about that Linda and Jerry were both having affairs on one another. But again, police found nothing to prove this. So when police bring the good doctor in for an interview, he lawyers up quickly. And this makes police's spidey sense go up. But here's the thing. This all happened right after the whole Miranda rights came about, like that whole case and everything. And so this was a very new concept for people to have their Miranda rights read to them and be like, oh, okay, it is my right to get representation and not talk to you. Cool. I'm not going to be found guilty for something I didn't do. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And that's what he did. And that made people think he was very guilty.
It's so hard because you should get representation. Like, you should wait for a lawyer, you know what I mean? But also, it just paints you in a bad light because we're always going to say, why didn't you just help them out if you were innocent? But we know that doesn't always work out like that. And, you know,
I wish I could remember who it was, but I saw this TikTok of an attorney talking, and she was like, this is my example of why, like she said, don't talk to police. She said she had a client that had been accused of doing like some sort of like malpractice something that, come to find out, like literally was not even illegal what they were trying to get this guy for. And he called her and she was like, don't talk to them. We're leaving. Do you have anything on him? Cool. We're leaving. And basically that was the end of it. His coworker or somebody had been accused of it. So they arrested him for this thing that wasn't even illegal. Like, he hadn't even committed a crime. So he had to hire an attorney, go through all these legal proceedings for them to eventually get it thrown out. And he had like lost his license to do whatever.
Oh my God.
Had to pay for all these things to go to court, get his license back, all like basically 2 years of court things for something that was not even illegal. And he got in trouble. You know what I mean? Like, he had all these costs and all these like upheavals in his life, and this other guy didn't, because they couldn't do anything to him.
Wow.
Now again, that's TikTok. Take it for what you will. But, you know, there was no evidence to pin it on him. I feel like other than hearsay. I did see on one Reddit article from H. Cunningham 409 that they had found a piece of the doctor's hair on a piece of tape that was on Jerry's face, and that the tape was like medical tape or veterinary tape, you know. But that was the only place I saw that. And I listened to a couple of podcasts and stuff on it, and that was the only place that I saw. I never heard that on anything either. But if that's the case, that's literally the only evidence that they had to even point to Fred. But here's the thing, though. If that tape was from her pocket, you know, if she had used that at work and that was from her pocket, there's a very good chance that his hair was on it.
Yeah.
Do you know how many times that Colby has told me that he's gone to work and my hair is wrapped around some part of his body?
Right. Like, I mean, literally, I had your hair in my bra.
Like, how the fuck did my hair end up in your bra when you have on a bra and a shirt? Like, because they got the knife from the house, then did they get the tape from the house? Because if they did, like, why would they just have medical tape? You know, so if it was something that she had brought home or whatever, there's a very good chance that the doctor's hair would have been on that. So I don't know. It's, but again, if you have a circumstantial case, then that can just keep building.
Yeah.
But if this is literally the only thing, it's explainable. But the thing that did kind of make people go, huh, happened actually in 2004. Because see, Fred and his wife both died by suicide together.
Was this by gas?
No.
Just wondering if I was right on something.
I actually don't know. But one of the Reddit things I read was like, so if you see an article that says that they died together in a nursing home on separate days, like, it's not true. And everywhere else is like, no, they died by suicide together.
Oh, shit.
So I wonder if maybe one of them had a terminal illness or something. Because people are thinking like, oh, did they do this because he was really guilty? Well, why? In 2004,
right.
If this happened in 1966, like, I highly doubt that. I think that it was the notebook of it all, and they died together.
Yeah.
So my money is not on Fred.
So are you telling me this is unsolved? I hate you.
I am telling you that this is unsolved.
Oh, my God.
There are quite a few theories as to what happened to the Bricka family. So like I said, the vet is one. The Cincinnati Strangler was another one, but that was proven that it wasn't him. Now, I do want to say that the police, this is still an open investigation, and that there is DNA evidence that they are occasionally like running through CODIS and trying to see if anything comes back. I do have hope that this will be solved one day, because I really think that they're going to find someone with familial DNA. Like, it's just growing too big now for them not to kind of figure something out with this. I think the vet had four kids. Like, how easy would it be to do a familial match to rule him out, you know?
Yeah.
But maybe the kids don't want to know, or maybe they never asked. I don't know. Okay. So remember how I told you that Linda worked as a flight attendant before they, you know, got married and had kids and all?
Yeah.
Okay. So Linda had told a friend like a month or two before she was murdered that she was scared for her life. She told her friend that she has a couple of friends that have been murdered recently, and she's now scared for her life.
And this has to do with her being a flight attendant?
Two friends of Linda, that they were all three flight attendants working for United Airlines back in the day. So the girls' names were Lisa Wick and Lonnie Trumbull. The two of them were still living together and working as flight attendants with a third roommate when this part of the story takes place. This takes place on June 23rd of 1966. So Lisa and Lonnie lived in the same apartment when they were both brutally attacked. Like I said, they lived with a third roommate named Joyce. And one morning, she got home from work at about 9:30 in the morning. When she gets there, she notices that the door's unlocked, and she's like, well, that ain't right. But there was a lamp on in the living room, and she's doing the Beauty and the Beast thing too. Hello? And nobody's answering. So she starts to look around, and she finds both Lisa and Lonnie in a pool of blood. She calls police, and when they get there, they realize that Lisa is actually still alive.
Oh my gosh.
both women had been repeatedly beaten with some sort of object, like a club or something, some sort of blunt object. Now, Lisa gets taken to the emergency room, and she has like skull fractures that they have to take, like do a craniotomy, take the skull off to relieve the pressure. She ends up surviving.
Oh my God. Now, when they do that, she has to be awake, doesn't she?
No.
Oh. What is it that you have to be awake?
Well, you don't have to, but for some brain surgeries, they want you awake so they can know like where to go.
Okay. Like they to do the less damage.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
But not all brain surgeries. But listen to this. They think that Lisa survived because she went to bed with like big old hair rollers in and that is what like cushioned the blows.
Oh my gosh.
Well, Lonnie Trumbull was not as lucky and she was pronounced dead on arrival.
Oh, bless it.
As the police are doing investigations, they're like, okay, who talked to him? Like we know somebody talked to him on the phone at like 11:45. Because somebody from United Airlines had called to be like, hey, you know, we need you to get on flight, blah, 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 blah. And then they know that the next morning, someone called at 4:45 a.m. and nobody answered. So basically, the murder happened between probably midnight and 3 a.m.
Holy shit. These people have the weirdest times of calling.
I know.
God bless.
But these two girls, well, three women are a little bit different because they're flight attendants, so they have weird hours.
But I'm just saying, like, even then.
I know. And actually, Deputy Sheriff was dating Lonnie, and he was like, hey, actually, I spent most of the day with her, and I left around 5 o'clock. I talked to her at 10 p.m., and that was the last time anybody had actually talked to Lonnie. Some of the neighbors, like an upstairs neighbor, said that they were getting ready for a trip at like 4 a.m. and they heard nothing. So it probably happened before 4 a.m. And then another neighbor said that they saw a car speed away at about 12:15. So that's why they think it had to have happened somewhere between 12 and 3 a.m. I will say, though, there was no sign of sexual assault. But unfortunately, Lonnie's murder and Lisa's attack is still unsolved as well.
Oh, my gosh.
So Lisa, because of like the brain injury, had kind of like blocked it out and couldn't remember things. But the longer it went on, she was starting to remember some things and was able to get with a sketch artist. And, you know, he's like 5'8", 5'10", 160 pounds, that kind of thing. But that case remains unsolved to this day. But then that leads us to Linda's other friend that was murdered.
Holy shit.
Her name was Valerie Percy. So Valerie was 21 years old, this brilliant young woman who had recently finished up school and had recently moved back to the Chicago area because her father was running for the U.S. Senate and she was going to help him with his election. Early on a Sunday morning, Valerie's stepmom hears these sounds like kind of moaning, kind of talking, kind of something. And she was like, what the fuck is going on? So she opens Valerie's door and she sees a man bending over Valerie and she's covered in blood. She is like, wah, you know, and the guy immediately turns around and shines his flashlight in her face so she can't see him. So she starts screaming for her husband, Valerie's dad. He wakes up, presses the alarm system and like gets his gun and all the things. But by the time they get back to Valerie's room, the killer is gone and Valerie is dead.
Oh my goodness.
Now, her stepmom, Lorraine, is able to tell police like the guy's like 5'8", 160 pounds ish, and he was wearing a checkered shirt.
Ooh, that's like around the same things as the other two.
Right.
Ooh.
So this is literally a future senator, because he wins. This is literally someone who's running for the Senate, and their daughter gets murdered in their house. And so this, of course, is huge, and there's a lot of pressure to solve this. The FBI gets involved, and they end up linking this, they think, to this burglary gang. Harold James Evans, Frederick J. Malcho, and Francis Leroy Hohimmer. I don't know if I'm saying their names right. But two of the friends flip on Freddie Malcho And they're like, you know, we do these robberies, but he's the one that killed that Valerie girl. Here's the thing. It was like they were getting busted for different burglaries and they flipped on a friend to get out of the burglaries. So we don't really know. And there's literally no evidence even saying that they were part of this like home invasion.
Mm-hmm. Well, and was anything missing at their house?
No,
and stuff?
No, that's the thing. But police wanted to go talk to Freddie because, you know, he was actually in jail awaiting a trial for a rape and a home invasion robbery.
Shit.
So it is kind of, but in 1967, he actually escaped from jail. And while he was escaping, he like slipped from a railroad trestle and died.
Oh, fuck.
So it's like, if it is Freddie Malcho, we don't know. And yeah, like he would have had to have acted alone because like these guys didn't do it with him. It was just this one guy. So like, was it Freddie? We'll never know because he died. I mean, unless they can do some sort of familial DNA.
Yeah.
For that. But if they have DNA, don't know. Some people think that Lisa and Lonnie's attack was actually Ted Bundy, because this wasn't, that was in Seattle. I don't think I said that. And he was in Seattle at the time.
Mm.
From what I understand, like they asked him about it and he was like, I didn't do that.
Oh shit.
So I don't know if he really did. So some people think that Lonnie, Lisa, and Linda saw something when they were working as flight attendants. And like they say that it was like a drug mule or something that would get on their planes and they reported it or saw something they weren't supposed to see and that these were hits.
But like she did that before she had a baby and she was like four.
Right. So this would have been like in 4 years in the making, basically. Yeah.
Which I mean, isn't unheard of.
Yeah. But then where does Valerie fit into that? Because right, from like, because at first I was like, wait, so she was a flight attendant too? But I don't think she was. I think they were just friends. Like, I don't think she worked as a flight attendant. So yeah. I don't know where Valerie fits into it. But it's,
it could have been she talked to her to be like, hey, can you ask your dad
right,
something?
Right. Because it's really weird for this group of friends. Like, for the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon is down to 1 degree. Like,
right,
you have a this one girl who is kind of the common denominator between these two sets of people and they all get murdered.
Right.
And all of them are unsolved. And two of them, they identify as kind of the same bodies.
Right.
That's fucking sketch.
For sure.
I don't know what it means, but it means.
Right. I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. There was no gas involved.
Definitely no gas. She was scared for a reason. I don't know why, but it was like she knew.
Yeah.
Because what are the odds? Like, what is it? Occam's razor? Is that not it?
Occam's
razor. The way you looked at me, I knew it was way wrong. Well, a little hock chewy on that. Well, Occam's razor. What is it? Like,
yeah,
the most reasonable answer is the answer, essentially.
Yeah.
And I mean,
most obvious.
Yeah. Like, what? Yes. God, wow. I really know about this guy and his razor.
Hako.
But truly, though, like, it's got to be that simple. Like, there's Joe Kenda says there's no coincidences in murder. I know his fucking name.
Did you see in the Facebook group that someone said that Joe Kenda should do audiobooks, like not just his books, but yes, audiobooks.
Yes.
And I was like, yep.
Love that man. But truly, like he says that there are no coincidences in murder.
Yeah.
Like it's too weird that three friends, and from what I can tell, I mean, I could be wrong. Someone please correct me if I'm wrong. I don't see the connection between Lisa, Lonnie, and Valerie. Like their connection is Linda.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. It's bizarre. And there's so many theories on everything. And it's like, I don't know, like Valerie's dad was a senator. Like, you know that there was some serious pressure on the police to figure out who did that murder.
Yeah.
And they couldn't figure it out, you know?
God, I hate unsolved cases.
I know. I'm sorry.
When you said, like, I don't think it's him, I was like, wait,
And then I said 2004. You're like, this better be an episode of Paula's on.
Right? God bless.
But it's not over because, like I said, detectives are still on this actively today. And they're still trying to connect the DNA and all of that. So maybe we'll have an answer one day.
I really hope so. And
I think if we find the answer because there was DNA left with Linda, that will probably close the other two cases.
Yeah.
But at this point, you know, we're 50 years out. You know, I mean, people are going to start passing away. Like, we need to figure this the fuck out.
Yeah. Who'd you say did this? Rob? Well, I'm mad at you, Rob, because I don't like unsolved cases.
She's breaking up with you.
Wait, are you single?
That's some fucking true response right there. Well, hopefully y'all didn't hate my story as much as Donna does. Let us know what you think about the aliens or nah. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.